This is KBNF Regional News. It's Monday, March 10th. I'm Patricia Naft. A rock slide last Thursday about 3 miles from the Powderhorn exit on I-70 closed Colorado Highway 65 at that location indefinitely. Traffic in both directions is being rerouted on the DeBeck Cutoff Road. As the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports, a debris path estimated to be 125 feet wide will take some time to clear before the highway in Plateau Canyon can reopen. According to Tracy Trulove, CDOT Communications Manager for the region, the debris field includes at least one boulder the size of an RV. A reopening date and time for Highway 65 will depend on weather conditions and the scale of work that needs to be done to break down the largest boulders and to clear the estimated 600 to 700 tons of debris in the road and repair the road itself, which Trulove said had been damaged in both lanes. Trulove said boulders will have to be cleared from the hillsides above the slide as well. Several boulders remain on the hillsides, including one that was perched above the scene and moving as of Thursday evening. No one was hurt in the rock slide. Snowpack accumulations rose even further above average in Colorado as a whole last month, but they continue to lag in the southwest part of the state. The Natural Resource Conservation Service says that thanks to multiple storms, statewide snow water equivalent was at 118% of median Thursday, compared to 107 a month earlier. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports the Upper Colorado River Basin was at 129% and the Gunnison Basin at 112%. Elsewhere in the state, the Laramie, North Platte, and South Platte basins are even higher, with the Upper Colorado with the South Platte at 144% of median. Southwest Colorado remains below normal, with the combined San Miguel, Dolores, Animas, and San Juan basins at 95% of median, and the Upper Rio Grande at just 90%. The good news for those basins is that snowpack levels rose from February 1st levels to just 82% for the Upper Rio Grande Basin and 79% for the four others. The Conservation Service says, on a statewide basis, Colorado has received above-average precipitation for the 3 months in a row. The state usually reaches peak snowpack accumulation on April 9th, and under current conditions, only needs 8% of typical precipitation between now and then to reach that peak. At 89%, reservoir storage is still below average, but that's much improved from the 67% at this time last year. With the exception of the Upper Rio Grande and Southwest basins, the most recent streamflow forecasts point toward above to well above normal volumes for this spring and summer in most of the major river basins in Colorado. Energy companies reported some 90 spills of hydrocarbons and oil and gas byproducts in Garfield County last year. Many of those spills took place on private property where residents leased their land to drilling companies. But a KDNK News investigation reveals some of those residents were unaware that spills had taken place on their property and that state regulators aren't checking to make sure landowners are properly informed of spills. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Ed Williams reports.
That's Bookcliffs over that way. Mm-hmm. And over here's that's Rulison over there. No, that's DeBeck.
Robert Ramos lives with his wife Stella on a scenic patch of land overlooking the rugged desert mesas of western Garfield County. It was a quiet, remote part of the state when they bought the property 32 years ago, but the natural gas boom of the past few decades has changed that. Now the Ramos property is in the middle of one of Colorado's most in-demand drilling hubs, and hundreds of well pads and gas workers dot the landscape.
There's a well over here. Next door to me, there's another well.
Like many other landowners drawn by the allure of oil and gas royalties, the Ramoses decided to lease part of their land to Noble Energy, who has since been drilling for gas on their property. Late last year, Noble applied for a permit to fill in an old pit on the Ramos property that the company had previously used to store produced water, a chemical-laden byproduct of fracking. State rules require the approval of the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, or COGCC, before an oil and gas facility can be closed, and before granting Noble permission to fill in the old pit, the local COGCC supervisor ordered a round of soil testing to make sure no chemicals had seeped into the ground. When the results came back from the lab, they showed the toxic chemicals arsenic and benzene were present in the dirt at levels above the legal health limit. The spill report Noble filed with the COGCC said that 8 days after discovering benzene and arsenic in the soil, the company informed Ramos of the spill, the investigation into the contamination, and the plans to clean up the toxic dirt. But Robert Ramos has a very different recollection of events.
No, he didn't say nothing like that. He really didn't tell me.
He says he was never notified of a chemical spill on his property and was completely unaware that there was any contamination on his land. He also says the company did not meet with him about cleaning up the spill, but rather that he learned of the remediation plans only when he himself went to Noble's offices to confront their regional representative after KD&K gave him copies of the spill reports. Under Colorado law, any time an oil and gas operator spills more than 209 gallons of oil or drilling byproducts into the environment, they're required to submit a form to the COGCC detailing the specifics on the spill. And in cases where the spill happened on private property, companies are required to notify the landowner and specify that they did so on the spill report. But while the laws on the books require landowners to be notified, enforcing those laws is difficult for regulators to do. That's because of a COGCC policy allowing companies to withhold the names of landowners on their spill reports. Environmental manager Jim Milne says the agency doesn't have a way to independently contact landowners after a spill report is filed.
You know, we don't have their phone numbers, really, to tell you the truth. You know, we're, you know, the operators out there, they did the mineral lease, they know the people that are in the area. For us to track down all the surface owners, it would be kind of a big effort for us, whereas the operators already have that information. But we're not maintaining any kind of a list of landowners anywhere.
So when companies withhold the name of the landowner on their spill report to the state, they're effectively keeping the identity of the person they're required to inform secret, both from the public and from the regulators. And according to a KD&K analysis of COGCC data, that's what's happening almost across the board. Out of the more than 120 spill reports filed from Garfield County since last year, only four listed the name of the landowner, one of those being the Noble spill on the Ramos property. The exception is when the landowner was another gas company. We don't know how many spills during that time took place on private residential property, but still, KD&K was able to track down a handful of other Garfield County landowners who companies said they contacted but whose names were withheld on spill reports, and found several other instances in which the surface owner said he was unaware of chemical spills that had taken place on his property. COGCC environmental manager Jim Milne says the state is aggressive with following up on violations of rules on spills, especially when a landowner notifies them of a problem. And many of the agency's investigations are indeed kicked off by landowner complaints. Milne says the COGCC relies on a statewide complaint hotline to get that information from landowners, but that's something that would be hard for landowners like Robert Ramos, who don't have obvious signs of problems on their property.
If in the case Mr. Ramos felt that he wasn't notified, he had the ability to call us, and then we would have followed up on that.
We're going to rely upon private landowners to let them know that they haven't been notified? How would they do that?
That's Steve Zansberg, a Denver attorney who advocates for access to public records and who negotiated the language in parts of Colorado's open record laws. He says that since it's the oil and gas companies who have the information on landowners, and not the state, open records laws don't apply. That puts the information out of reach not just for state regulators, but also for reporters, lawyers, or others interested in verifying a landowner was notified of a chemical spill on their property.
So if the government has this information, it must provide it to you unless some exemption applies. Here, the government, we simply don't have this information, and we don't feel a need to require it.
Whether or not requiring that information would shine more light on the issue of compliance with landowner notification rules is an open question, but one thing seems clear. If companies are at times not informing landowners of spills, they're rarely caught. A KD&K review of over 1,000 statewide violation records covering more than 5 years showed only one case in which a company was possibly cited for falsely stating a landowner was notified of a spill, and that case could not be verified because of gaps in the COGCC's records. Robert Ramos says he's glad Noble Energy is cleaning up the contamination, but he says if the company had not listed his name on the spill report, prompting a phone call from a reporter, he'd still be oblivious to the chemical contamination that sat on his property for over 4 years.
That was Ed Williams for Rocky Mountain Community Radio. Stay tuned for the Monday morning music mix with Go Betty. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.